The Federal Communications Commission unveiled a new proposal today that would treat the internet like a public utility. In an op-ed on Wired Magazine's website, FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler called the plan the strongest open internet protections ever proposed by the FCC. The rules fall under Title II of the Communications Act. They would prevent so-called fast lanes on the internet, and they're reviving the debate over net neutrality. Timothy Wu is a professor at Columbia Law School. He's been credited with coming up with that term, net neutrality. He favors the FCC's approach. He's with us from New York. Professor Wu, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And David Farber also joins us. He has some concerns about the FCC's plans. He's a professor of computer science and public policy at Carnegie Mellon University, and he joins us from Newark, Delaware. Professor, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And I want to start with you, Tim Wu. Can you first just, for our listeners, explain briefly net neutrality, because this is a very complicated topic.
It is. I guess net neutrality is the principle that more or less the carriers of the information should treat most of it about the same. So, you know, if you go to one website or another, they shouldn't speed up one website or slow down another, or try to, you know, create a fast lane that speeds up someone who's paid them and slow down someone who hasn't. That's the main center of it. It's an anti-discrimination rule.
And the FCC is now proposing classifying the internet as a telecommunications service. What do you think of that idea? What's the rationale for it?
I think it's a good idea. The FCC has needed a strong legal basis for its net neutrality rules. It has had some kind of net neutrality rules for a very long time. You can date it into the 70s if you want to call it. But in the last couple of years, they keep getting struck down by the courts. So I think it's chosen a better, stronger legal path. The carriers aren't fond of it, but I think it's a good idea because the rules have worked very well. They've promoted a lot of innovation, and I think they should stick with them.
Well, and President Obama has weighed in on this. Here he is in a recent video on whitehouse.gov.
There are no gatekeepers deciding which sites you get to access. There are no toll roads on the information superhighway. This set of principles, the idea of net neutrality, has unleashed the power of the internet and given innovators the chance to thrive. Abandoning these principles would threaten to end the internet as we know it.
Professor Farber, what do you think about that argument, and what do you think about what the FCC is planning to do here?
My main objection to what the FCC is doing, and remember I was chief technologist at the FCC
right. In
the late 90s, is that Title II regulation is a very complex issue that causes people to know how to play the regulatory game. The internet is just at the beginning of a phenomenal growth, and to stratify it by inappropriate rulemaking and slow decision-making will, in the long term, damage people.
Explain how that happens. How do rules like this stifle growth in the internet?
They stifle growth by having people starting to play the regulatory game. For instance, the FCC has said that they will forbear certain aspects of Title II regulation. There's no guarantee the future FCC commissions will do the same thing. And rulemaking at the FCC is a glacially slow activity, and the internet is, to put it mildly, a very fast-changing activity. And those two don't go well together.
We've also heard the argument, though, that by not having net neutrality, you're stifling innovation because there could be somebody who wants to use a lot of bandwidth and doesn't have the money to pay for it, but wants to have the unlimited bandwidth access that they may have now so that they can develop the next new thing. That's the way to innovate, is allow everyone an equal playing field.
Well, equal playing field and demands for all the bandwidth they can generate are two different issues. I think there is an issue of equality of offerings and availability. And the current internet regulation has worked very well. If you look historically, there are almost no cases where any violation of network neutrality hasn't been corrected rapidly via the FCC just saying you shouldn't do that.
Professor Wu, your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll say it is true that the FCC has had some success with the just don't do that approach. The problem is the last time they did that, it actually got struck down by a court who said you need to use more serious authority. And that's basically what the FCC is doing here. And I think everyone realizes in the absence of any rules that the carriers would go ahead with their plans of trying to speed up some sites, slow down others, because that's a profit model. And it would be good for them, but bad for everybody else and bad for innovation. And so what's interesting is Dave and I both want to see more innovation. I'm just more concerned about the carriers, and he is more concerned about regulatory gamesmanship. You know, I'm awake to that concern as well. I hope that they pass this rule and the problem goes away and it's back to the old days of just don't do that, because I think that approach has been successful.
Yeah, there are other things to come with Title II that worry me actually more. First of all, it opens up a vehicle for states to start taxing telecommunications services. They've been keeping away from taxing internet services, information services, but I can't find anybody who believes that they won't go to work taxing as much as they can the internet services once it's Title II.
And what's wrong with that?
Have you looked at your cable bill lately or your telephone bill for all the taxes that are put on it? It's going to cost you more money. Also, when you go into the international arena, remember the internet is an international beast. Two other things happen, if I can. One is that countries for years have wanted to charge for the internet arriving in their country. Once you say it's a telecommunications service, it's going to be very difficult to keep countries from going in and taxing the hell out of it. So the culture that has basically arose by people being able to call China, India, et cetera, for almost nothing is going to start going away.
Professor Wu, are you worried about taxation?
I'm not worried about it right now. I think there is some prospect that people will try to increase taxes. I think there will be political resistance. And I think these are vague concerns. I think a lot of these things could have happened anyways. And I don't think Title II is the thing that changes everything, which is the shift in regulation we're talking about.
There is some data on what the public think about all this. Professor Farber, a recent survey from the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communications found that 81% of those polled oppose allowing these fast lanes. In other words, they favor net neutrality. What would you say to these people who have written into the FCC in droves and said, we want these rules?
There are going to be cases in the future where fast lanes are needed. If you look at demands for things like virtual reality, you can't do that on the same basis that you do web browsing.
In other words, it takes a lot more broadband even to use FaceTime on your iPhone these days than it does to just send a text message.
That's correct. And if you say you have to be equal, you're in trouble. I think the issue there is much more, can you offer that service as a carrier? Do you have to offer that service to all comers at the same price? And I'm certainly in favor of. And that allows a startup to be at least equal to the established carriers.
Professor Wu?
So people have been saying since the 90s, unless you have a fast lane, this won't happen, that won't happen, this won't happen. When I was in the telecom industry myself, they said you'll never have telephone service over the internet unless you have a fast lane. Then people said, well, then there was Skype. Then people said, you're never going to have real video streaming over the internet. It can't work without a fast lane. But now we have Netflix, Amazon Prime, Vimeo, you name it. So the technical argument that you cannot have X unless we have fast lanes has turned out to be wrong over and over and over again. And I think we have an incredible path or history of innovation on the open internet. And why mess it up? You know, if it isn't broken, why try and fix it by creating these fast lanes, which theoretically might bring us virtual reality? But, you know, the open competition between all the companies trying to do something new has produced some extraordinary stuff. And I just don't think we should mess with it by allowing the carriers to create fast lanes.
I completely agree with you on one ground. It works. Why mess it up? The internet ain't broken right now. And I'd wait until we have something that breaks it before we take a chance.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave that conversation there. That's David Farber, professor of computer science and public policy at Carnegie Mellon University. We've also been speaking with Timothy Wu, a professor at Columbia Law School, who coined the term net neutrality. They're weighing in on the new FCC proposal released today to regulate the internet like a utility. The commission is expected to vote on the proposal later this month. You can weigh in on it at our website, hereandnow.org.